Production. Recorded live.
Welcome. You're listening to the Beyond 50 radio program, and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Daniel Davis. Well, it seems if I'm going to date this show, that the one thing I can date it with is the fact that Congress has finally passed a $700 billion bailout for our financial system, so that way we can restore the chaos that a lot of people seem to be feeling. You turn on the news today and there's just all this despair about people losing their homes, taxes to the people to be able to get Wall Street off the hook. You also read in print that we just don't know if there's ever going to be any end in sight if the government takes control over what is simply known as the free enterprise system. It seems that we always, when we tune on the news, when we read it in print, whether it's in a magazine or we watch it on television or listen to some, I don't know, what do you want to call it, biased radio talk show host tell us what's really going on in the world today, that you would think that the fear matrix that we seem to be having ourselves caught into would just simply seem like a bunch of nonsense. I contend that if you shut all this stuff down, that you'll realize as you look around that you're going to still see a breeze through the leaves of the trees. You're going to realize you're going to go down to the corner gas station and be able to put gas in your car. And you're also going to be able to pick your favorite produce from the local market while you're talking friendly with people who have been seeing you go in there for years. So if this is true, then what do we do to keep ourselves away from all this fear that and anxiety that seem to surround us? Well, joining us here on the Beyond 50 radio program today, our guest is going to talk about something that's simple but yet very, very profound at the same time, where it might just be able to help us get on personal track. On the Beyond 50 radio program today is our guest, Elizabeth Peter from Red Lotus, and she's going to talk with us about a couple of things that we can do so that we can realize that sanity is more than just a fingertip away. And Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here on the Beyond 50 radio program.
Thank you, Dan, for having me.
Now, what can we do amidst all of this chaos and humdrum melodrama that we seem to hear and sense and experience all around us that can make us realize that things really aren't as bad as people seem to make them out to be?
Well, Dan, I think our consciousness is moving along very fast. And as you remember, perhaps all these ancient systems that have existed over 5,000 years, our ancestors have been much more in touch with their own natural environment and the cosmic environment. So they charted patterns. They wanted to observe patterns. They created elaborate patterns of systems, charting systems, in which they can somehow fit their lives into their natural environments. Now, in the last several hundred years, we lost touch with those kinds of wisdoms because we literally lived in a blindfolded environment. Humanity lost touch because we've been imposed with this mind construct systems of the money system, the powers, the technological age, and that system is about to come to an end. So actually what we should be doing is be out on the streets jubilating that our freedom is about on the horizon. We are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm sure you will have some guests who talk more in detail about that. As for me, I'm closely following these ancient systems, such as the Mayan calendar system. And, of course, the one I'm more familiar with is the ancient Chinese feng shui system. But we had the ancient Vedic Indian systems, the Sumerians. They all had this, and now we're getting back in touch with that kind of wisdom. So our human self, our own consciousness, is becoming more and more empowered. We're coming to the forefront of who we really are as individual human beings, and we're starting to see that these systems are falling all around us, falling away from us. We're coming off basically just with the shirt on our backs, but at least we will be free. So we can now start to come out of this prison of mind-constructed systems and create something that can be healthy and we can be happy again. That is my view on it anyway.
Well, you know, it's also important that, you know, people this day and age, they kind of get wrapped up in what you would call a repetitive lifestyle. They get up, they go to work, They go home, they sort of let cable TV wash over them, and that becomes the, next, call it water cooler conversation. And I know that I've even found myself out in the world, and it seems that really people don't generally have anything significant to talk about anymore outside of, did you see this movie or have you been to this concert? And we're all wrapped up into things that other people are doing as a means for us to connect with each other. And it seems after a while that a sense of aggravation would alarm somebody to wake up and say, you know, there's got to be a lot more to do and to talk about than simply being caught, you know, in this sort of loop, if you will.
Yeah, what you will see more and more, it's like the tube doesn't make any sense. People who just talk away, the talking heads don't make sense. Our officials, politicians, nobody is making sense. That's why our kids don't pay attention to our school teachers, because remember, these are systems of the mind. And interestingly, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how the mind really only operates at 24 frames per second, which is a very limited speed limit. And our consciousness, on the other hand, has no speed limit, and our consciousness is already starting to surpass our mind. The mind is a tool, although a lot of people like to identify with their minds as if that's them, they're themselves. The truth is, our mind is not us. The mind is a tool, like the tail was a tool. And the tail, as you know, we don't use it very much anymore. But the mind we're still very attached to, and that is what's causing the pain in most people. That's where the fear is coming from. The mind is where ego is occupied with, you know, fear. If the mind cannot keep up with the speed of consciousness, it goes into this fight and flight syndrome and creates a whole bunch of fear. Mm-hmm. And so that's how these last hundreds, you know, actually the last decades, all this fear has been constructed about, oh, you know, we have the good and evil, and these people are evil and these people are good, and then all these wars have been perpetrated more and more and more. We will see the end of that only, simply because the mind cannot keep up. As you know, in movies, if you watch a movie, it's shot at 24 frames per second simply because that's the only way we can actually watch a video or a movie. If you would speed up that screen, all you would see is blimping lights, you know, passing in
right.
front of your eyes. And so that's what's really happening. Our consciousness is passing by this 24 frame per second speed. And so those who want to keep up with this consciousness, such as our youngsters, as you can see in music, in art, in these crazy sports where, you know, the kids are out skateboarding at a speed of craziness, you know, we're like, oh, my God, you know, what is that? It's because they're practicing that speed. Our sports people, we pay millions of dollars to people who play sports because we love to watch them being in that kind of speed where the mind is completely out of the way. So we need to be in that. We need to keep up with that speed. And I know it's not that simple. And so the fear sets in from time to time.
Now, you were talking earlier in the program about ancient systems and the need for inventing elaborate systems such as feng shui, you know, being able to be in harmony with nature. Now, talk about, first of all, what feng shui is and why it can be important in our daily lives to actually, I would think, create more inspiration as you're out into your day instead of just melancholy.
Yes, you know, feng shui was, like I mentioned, invented by the ancient Chinese because they too were afraid of their, environments, of course, you know, the wild beasts and whatnot. So they had to figure a way out to have peace of mind. Remember, when you have peace of mind, you basically have happiness. Then you can finally function. And so that's why this system is now coming back and it becoming extremely popular, especially in Asian countries, but everywhere. It's permeating the West, obviously, very much. And so it is not simply some kind of a fad or just to satisfy your curiosity. It's a useful tool. Not unlike if you go on a ship, you know, you need a navigating system, you need a map and a compass at least to know where you're going. So the difference between knowing that and someone who just takes off on a ship without any map, you can imagine how lost and fearful that person would be. And that's basically how we are living here in the West. Many are so disjointed and disconnected from these patterns that have been charted by our ancients. So feng shui is a very useful tool. And so once you know how you're navigating your life, let's say you know about your own self, you know certain times of your life are better than others, and you know it's going to snow tomorrow, then you're not going to do certain things. Or if you know what career suits you best, you can avoid a lot of pitfalls. You know what kind of people you surround yourself with, partnerships or coworkers or friends. You know how to understand them because you know about their charts. That way you can really create more peace of mind and perhaps even prosperity for yourself. So that is why, you know, in fact, in ancient China, this system was only used, obviously, once the ruling systems have been created 2,000-3,000 years ago. The rulers basically kept this to themselves. The masses were completely ignorant of this. And so even in communist China, of course, they suppressed it to a point where traditional Chinese doctors, like my teacher, were not allowed to use this tool to diagnose, for example, for their health. You know, they use it in every area. You can even chart the financial system with this, which we've done. I've done my New Year's newsletter, if people want to read that, on my website. So you can basically create a lot of wonderful prognosis and predictions based on what we call the Bazi system. But, of course, the feng shui system is more designed for your environment. But remember, the human is always important. So the human predictive system, but the Bazi system, has to be used in conjunction with the feng shui system. So I'm using both those to help people find more peace of mind, basically, and to find the right environment or create more harmony within the existing environment that they live in.
Now, Elizabeth, now when people actually began to put into practice feng shui, and you were talking also about a thing or a system of Bazi, what kind of transformations or changes can they personally see in what period of time?
Well, let's say you have a question about career. Let's say you are very confused about your career. Like you mentioned in your show, a lot of people go to work and they are really not enjoying what they're doing. But we know that we each come in with a dream, with something that is your calling in life, you know, your purpose in life. And sometimes, somewhere along the lines, people lose touch with their dream. Some fulfill their dreams. Those are the happy ones, right? The artists or those who feel happy with what they do, but not all of us. And so with these imposing system of, let's say, the money system, where sometimes you just have to abandon your dream because you need to make money to survive, now we can find that we can leave those jobs and really follow our dream. And so the Bazi system is very essential in using that tool to really dig deep inside and find that dream again. Or if you're young, of course, you can just follow that dream no matter what everybody says or whatever. Sometimes it resonates with your intuition. Remember, intuition is that inner knowing that is coming more and more in the forefront as these systems are leaving us. And we will be much, much more in the knowing. You won't even need somebody like me to ask what you need to be doing. You will know. Intuition is becoming more and more the guiding compass that we lost over the last several hundred years.
So there's a chance for someone who gets caught up into the day-to-day routine of listening to everybody else while they're going to a job they don't enjoy to basically engage in these systems effectively to be able to make the kind of transformations that they want to make?
Right. You know, these systems were basically set up by our ancient ancestors to guide themselves, and maybe perhaps they thought of us, their future children. But the truth is that we are actually at such a juncture in creation where these systems were kind of like the training wheel. You know, when you're still learning how to walk or how to ride a bicycle, these training wheels are falling away, and these were just basically to help us navigate life while we still lived in fear or in oppression. Slowly but surely, we're moving into the age of universal bliss. By 2011, based on the Mayan charting system, we will be in the age of intuition, where we will be living like when those million-dollar football players or basketball players, where we're what they call, the sports people call it the zone or the flow, where you completely come out of the mind construct system and you're just flowing. You're just in your zone and you're just moving at the speed of light, basically. Yeah, I'm sure you know, your listeners and yourself probably experienced times where you were just lost in time. You were so engaged in something you loved doing that you didn't notice that time was actually present. Remember, time is a mind construct. Time and space is the construct of the three-dimensional world. It's a linear construct as opposed to the speed limitless expansion of consciousness. And, of course, quantum physics goes way into discussing that. And it's almost like the ancient systems now are meeting halfway with our new physics findings of quantum physics. How wonderful is that? We're going into the knowing.
Well, it's just interesting when you take a look, as I had suggested earlier in the program, that, for instance, that people follow the news, and basically the news seems to be broadcast from, I don't know, call them groups or areas of people who want you just basically to follow what it is they want you to follow. And mindlessly, in a lot of cases, that's what people really do, is they just kind of, oh, I guess if the news tells me this, then it's true. Such as back in the day when George Bush allegedly stole the election from John Kerry back in 2000. And, or excuse me, not John Kerry, but I'm trying to remember his name now. Eddie Lou's me anyway. See, that's what I get for not being in my mind as much as I should when it comes to talking about these things. But the point is here all of the major networks had Al Gore, that's who it was, winning the race. Then all of a sudden Fox News comes out of the blue and says, well, wait a minute, we've got George W. Bush. So then the other networks were apologizing, saying, well, I guess if Fox says it's true, then it must be. And the fact is that we just take that what we hear or read or see when it comes to news is that must be true without further investigating it. So you can see how it kind of spirals us into a turmoil where after a while you just don't know which way you need to go. And I keep suggesting to people when you tend to feel this tension that this can all get you into this tension, this anxiety, fear, if you will, is if you would just stop in your neighborhood or even just take a walk around your neighborhood, don't talk to anybody, just look around and feel what's going on, the way you perceive these things would really change.
Absolutely, Dan. I have great faith in what we're going into. Of course, not everyone is ready for it, and that is why those of us on radio and everywhere, we're shouting from the rooftops to really get engaged with your own true self, which was oppressed. Remember, the powers in the last 250 years, powers reached their maximum. It's like a tree with ripe fruit. That ripe fruit is now ready to fall and rot. And that's where we're finding ourselves. We are not rotting as human beings. No, it's the system around us. And we need to differentiate that. We need to notice that and not be taken down with them. They will not go down without a fight, and they want to take as many of us down with them as they possibly can. This is why we were very close to a nuclear fallout. And I believe that since just this August 15th, based on the Mayan system, the fourth world stepped in. It came in where a lot of wonderful new energy, new frequencies have been downloaded into humans, where our mind literally went into the peaceful, less violent kind of feeling, thinking, or consciousness. And that is why, even though they really tried hard to start a third world war in Iran or in Russia, it all came to nothing. And it's starting to look more and more like we will be avoiding the major fallouts. Now, I'm not saying we're out of the water. In fact, we're headed into another huge clash, Dan. The fifth night on the Mayan calendar is not over yet. It's over on November 12th, to be precise. And this fifth night, every day counts, because the last fifth night lasted from 1932 to 1952. As you know, that 20-year period encompassed an amazing amount of misery, from wars and killings and the Hiroshima bomb. Now, this fifth night is going to be about this system of the money system, the powers to be. They are dying, and they don't want us to notice. And so even before November 12th, there's another showdown coming. We put it to November 4th, actually. It's election day. And so after that, we're moving into day six, and I will have that on my radio show with Barbara Hand Clow, who wrote the Mayan Code. We will talk, specifically about what the day six is going to be. It's going to be a rejuvenation. It's a rebirth. It's ruled by the goddess of birth, meaning we will be rebuilding free systems, free energy systems, free government systems. We will be moving away from the globalized craziness that has been perpetrated on us. And it's not going to be an easy job, but at least we will be doing it free, just with our shirt on our backs and with some mutual admiration for each other for a change.
Yeah, that certainly would be a nice change of pace, because you take a look at every presidential election, it's always usually the same things they talk about over and over about how they're going to improve the system of people's well-being. We're going to lower taxes, we're going to work on health care, we're going to work on education. And yet they've been saying this, it seems like forever, and then each 4 years it's either a little better than the last four, it gets a lot worse, but generally overall it doesn't seem to change too much in the way that it's put into practice. And I know that a lot of people have tremendous hope for the outcome of this particular election, but then at the same time, people seem to face the reality, well, after what we've done in the last dozen or so years, it seems like an incredible hole for, like, our country, for instance, to dig itself out of. But, again, I think if people step back and pull away from some of these things, and as you talk about creating a feng shui, which is a natural environment for getting energy to flow, you talk about Bazi, and as you were stating earlier, the four pillars of destiny, getting people on track to do what their passion, their special reason for being here is, then you'd find looking into those matters that are always shared with us on a regular basis to make us feel like, oh, the whole world's off its rocker, it's going to end any day now, that it wouldn't be as bad as we think it is, according to what we're being told.
No, the sky is not falling, Dan. In fact, I have great faith in the intelligence and the higher consciousness of us humans. Especially the younger generation, they came in wired to go at this speed of consciousness. The older folks will have a harder time adjusting to this. But I believe that we have a way to climb out of this craziness. By November 4th, American people hopefully will wake up and realize they cannot give away their power to anyone else but themselves. And so they can now create something locally, and they can create a world in which they can be effective. They will be heard. you know, we cannot bail out. This bailout is going to fail because it's like throwing, you know, when you have a sinking boat with a hole in it, you cannot take a thimble and keep throwing water out of it. It's going
right.
to sink. And that's what basically they're doing. They're holding up these rotten apples on the tree, hoping that it's not going to fall. It's going to
fall. Good analogy.
So, yeah.
Instead of letting them fall and becoming fertilizer for a different tree to grow, in other words.
So, you know, we are starting to see, hey, they're looking to us to bail them out. When they used to laugh at us, taxpayers, you know, they were wasting millions and billions of dollars of God knows what on wars and drug trafficking and
mm-hmm.
whatnot. All the big businesses and all these big banks, they were basically doing nothing but you know, taking money from the taxpayers to play their war games and drug games and, you know, dirty stuff that is now, in the age of ethics, such rotten systems cannot exist. And, of course, Pluto, the wonderful planet of Pluto, doing its cleanup job in a big way. You ain't seen nothing yet. When Pluto goes into Capricorn by November 29th, to be precise, we will see the cleanup job really begin. And we, the people, were realizing, hey, they're coming to us to borrow money from us when
yeah.
they already robbed us blind. How does this work? Well, they're just printing trillions of dollars of money that's going to be worth less than your toilet paper. So it's not going to happen, Diane. And we need to wake up to really start rebuilding our own backyards, our own communities. That's the only way we're going to come. We can't wait for these guys. It's a circus show. It's
uh-huh.
nothing but a circus show.
Yeah, it's definitely we're in interesting times, to say the least. Now, as you talk about the cleaning of systems, what type of opportunities do, I guess we'll just, for the sake of using the kind of language that's out there now, what can Main Street do to sort of change and guide their destiny to where the possibility of something like this happening again couldn't happen, because people are now guided with a better ethical intuition, as you were saying, and that they can be guided in their own direction without being swayed by another, I guess, fear tactic. You know, we need to go to war because this country is a threat to us. We need this bailout, or otherwise you're going to lose your houses and jobs. You know, but you never talk about the politicians losing their jobs. God forbid should they have to lose their jobs. They hate losing their jobs, but you know, how does this change the mindset or the spirit of a person where they will no longer buy into what we're being fed?
Well, fortunately, Dan, there's a lot of wonderful, empowered individuals in our world. As you know, we have the billionaires, basically, who have woken up to this, and they are ethical, and they are empowered more and more to bring us the new technologies, the free technologies. The technologies existed over 100 years. We're quite ready for using free technology to empower our transportation systems, you know, warm our homes, cool our homes, and use these things. This whole new green energy movement that's happening right now, the conservation movement, the environmental movement, we will have to rebuild our homes, our infrastructure, our roads and bridges are collapsing. All these things need a lot of work. And so we will see that we will be very careful in electing some wonderful local officials, hopefully young ones with the good ethical standards this time, because they won't be tied into the money system or the federal government system anymore. And besides, this is worldwide, Dan. This is going to be a global collapse. It's not just the American government that's corrupt or the American system that's corrupt. It's so tied in. It's like a wheel with a cog. When you pull out the cog, which is the money system, from this wheel, the whole cart collapses, which is the global system. And it's
mm-hmm.
been predicted by the Mayans and those researchers that I've been following for years. I mean, I've been screaming from the rooftops 2 years ago that the money system is going to collapse, and nobody was listening. Everybody was in denial. In fact, even today, people are in denial about it. They think it's going to be somehow, you know, how do you fix a rotten apple? I don't know.
You get a worm that likes rotten apples, I guess. Then you elect him to become leader.
Exactly. It's not going to happen with our leaders. We can see how what a joking circus this is. It's a joke. Yeah.
Well, it certainly seems to be, especially as you watch, you know, even this presidential race and the debates, and you think to yourself, but nobody is really saying anything. And is it because they don't want to, or because they realize we're just in a time that people just aren't buying it? And,
yeah.
You know, and so you kind of, you know, wonder which way to go there.
Well, the election is going to be a very, very interesting relevance because people will realize the Republicans are not really happy with their elected, those guys are a joke, both of them, the presidential candidate and the vice presidential candidate. So is the Democratic side. They're not happy with their choices. What we really would be better off is with someone who is into the constitutional ideas, because our Constitution has been trampled on, and that's why Ron Paul really appealed to a lot of young people. Millions flocked to Ron Paul. Even when McCain was going around the country, people showed up at McCain headquarters trying to vote for Ron Paul. And not that Ron Paul gets elected, and I'm not trying to advocate that. I'm just saying he sent out a message, and that message will resonate with us after this circus show is over, because we will realize that, hey, we need to get this work done ourselves, because nobody's going to do it for us.
Exactly.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be damn hard, because we won't have to deal with the money system, so we have to come up with something else.
Now, Elizabeth, earlier in the program, you alluded to athletes and why we enjoy watching athletes, especially as the Olympics come on. You're looking at the best of the best out there, that they have made a commitment to do something they truly love to do, and they are the best at it. And through that, especially when world records are broken, is that we tend to find a source of inspiration and a yearning. I remember watching a movie some time ago where this hotel cook was explaining to this young high school wrestler who was about to go into a showdown with the best in the state. And he was taking the day off, and the young boy wanted to know why. You know, he thought he was sick, and he says, because I'm going to go and watch you wrestle. And he says, you know, it's only 5 minutes on the mat. And he says, yeah, but it's what happens in that 5 minutes. And he went on to explain one day how he was sitting in his hotel room watching Pele. He had never heard of who Pele was. I mean, this guy was considered the great one, if you will, in soccer. And he says, to watch this guy do what he did, I began to realize where I was, and it brought a tear to my eye, because this guy took a shot to do what he loved and to be the best that he could be. And he felt that it was pretty darn glorious to just be in that moment as he did what he did on the soccer field. How does a person who's caught up in the kind of, I guess, informational chaos that we have been over many years, can they break away from that cycle to move into that realm of existing, doing what they love to do, while at the same time being the best that they can be?
Well, remember, us older folks, it's harder for us because we lived with these systems all our lives. However, there is a DNA message in all of us that resonates with that guy, like Pelé, and it resonates with us that we have that in us. Each one of us has that intuitive knowing, that self-knowing that's been suppressed. And the beauty of it is now that the higher consciousness is being downloaded on us, the higher frequencies are coming as we are on this race to 2011 and 12. The faster and faster these frequencies are downloaded, the more we get in touch with that. So we don't really have to do anything other than just be and try to stay out of fear as much as possible. When fear comes on you, it's kind of like a wave at the ocean, you know. When the wave comes, you just go, okay, you know, I'm going to ride this one out and stay within that, firmly in the self, in your centeredness. And that's why all these healing methods coming out, all these therapies people go to, there's a million things you can do, not necessarily sitting in meditation. There's so many other things that – people like these extreme sports for that purpose. You know, a lot of people go windsurfing, kayaking, climbing mountains, or you can just simply go and lay on the grass, walk at the beach, enjoy, you know, your connection to nature. Our living Mother Earth has those frequencies. In fact, our Mother Nature, talk about a Mother Earth, has just changed, shifted energies in 1998. Now, this is a research that is being proven right now as we speak, but, you know, people have been predicting there will be a shift of the poles. Well, it happened. The shift actually started to, you know, as you know, the planet is tilted a little bit at an angle, and now it's going to be more and more vertical. In fact, there's a bulge being created around the equator. That is why we're seeing the warming up of the poles and the icebergs melting, not because of this man-made so-called global warming. That's another big lie. They want to milk that because that, again, creates some extra money for a lot of these politicians like Tony Blair. But, you know, we are really not in this sky is falling kind of scenario at all. If anything, our sun is really dictating whether we're warmer sometimes or colder sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're a little bit warmer, but remember, even after 1947, we had a 20-year period in which actually we were 20 degrees cooler than normal. And that was during the industrial growth period. So it's a whole another set of hoax.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, you know, our Earth is also growing with us. Everything around us is alive. We live in a living, breathing universe. Our consciousness is in sync with the cosmos, with our galactic system, our galactic center. Pluto just visited the galactic center. Our planet, actually the plane of the galactic plane and our Earth are very much in harmony since 1998. This is why we are starting to come back into our own power. And the power systems that have been, like I said, imposed upon us, they don't have a chance. They don't have a chance anymore. So we're slowly, slowly coming out of this. Creation is slow and gentle, and it's starting to, you know, we're waking up. And our children, you know, we call them ADD because they're so fast with the way they are thinking. They've already been wired for this faster consciousness.
You know, Elizabeth, for those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to the Beyond 50 radio program, and our guest is Elizabeth Peter with Red Lotus, and we're talking about how you can unplug from this fear-based system that we've been enraptured by for literally centuries, if you will, but it seems to have more of an impact today because of the immediacy of how we can communicate not only with people next to us but worldwide. But you can see because of the advent of the internet that a lot of this has changed because people are able to get access to more information that before was being kept away from us. I mean, we still don't know who really shot John F. Kennedy, although there seems to be a conspiracy around that, but the information to a degree has been lost to us. But you just said something about attention deficit disorder, and over the course of our program over the last 5 years, we have talked about, you know, the rise in autism and the rise in ADD. It almost is more than a household name, whereas 20, 30 years ago, these were just things that were sort of on the fringe. Now, you're suggesting that ADD this day and age isn't so much of a potential mental disorder, if you will, but it's actually a new way of thinking that we're locking into a new system that is far accelerated from the one that we are in?
Yeah, you know, our kids have been, they have to adjust much more than we do to the new system of consciousness. And so they will not be using their mind. Like I mentioned earlier, the mind is a tool. And it had its purpose. We are outgrowing the mind. Literally, we're outgrowing the mind. We're leaving the mind behind.
Uh-huh.
And so our kids, they cannot fit into our mind-constructed system, such as, for example, the school system. they just don't know what to do with it because it's too slow for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're going to do is, like I said, we're accelerating at such a speed based on the Mayan calendar, 20 times. Each age that we get into is 20 times faster. So by the time we get to 2011, we will be only communicating telepathically. If you listen to these hip-hop songs of, you know, today's what today's kids are listening to, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really wrap your mind around the message in these songs because basically it's a communication that has, it's not really based on the mind, on the 24 frame per second mind communication. It's something beyond that. And so to us, it seems like gibberish. But, you know, how would you talk to a cosmic being like, you know, we're in the galactic age, by the way, based on the Mayan calendar. We should be communicating with our galactic neighbors. How are we going to talk to an, you know, to a guy who comes from, you know, out of space with the language we have right now? We won't be able to. So we are moving into telepathic communication, teleportation. We will be traveling, like, you know, we are getting into the Christ consciousness, literally. You know, our teachers, like Christ, came around 2,000 years ago that were showing us where we will be 2,000 years later. Christ showed us the whole resurrection business that they already totally twisted around and convoluted it is nothing but Christ demonstrating to us that, hey, you guys are going to do what I've been doing. I can move in and out of my body at will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what the resurrection is about. Of course, we totally missed that one, and now it's coming back to us. We will be at that speed.
Now, it's interesting that you bring Christ in and you say that we're moving to a level that Jesus apparently, through his teachings, was trying to show us we could do to be our own little co-creators, which I guess if you were to interpret the Bible literally, that's what God did, was to make us in his own image. In other words, the ability to be a co-creator, as I understand it. Now, I'm sure there'll be plenty of religious leaders that may say that I'm wrong, and that's fine. You know, everybody seems to have their own interpretation of this basically book that just shows human history and how we learn to settle down and actually create rules and boundaries for existing together, it seems. But as you raise this particular site that Jesus is telling us we can do these things, it seems there will be religious sects, especially in Christianity, that will argue with that. They'll say, no, that's not what we were meant to do, almost as though we're bordering on sacrilege, almost religious treason. How do you address that?
Well, remember, Pluto did a really nice job cleaning up the religious systems the last 13 years while it visited Sagittarius. And as you know, although religious systems still exist in a skeleton format, not many people are taking them as seriously anymore. When you were a kid and you were asked to go to church, you went, but your heart may not have been in it. And now you wake up and say, gee whiz, you know, that's really not what I believe. You know, it's like you're finally waking up to a truth that this was imposed on you. And you know, there will be many, like you said, the religious leaders, whoever, there will be a choice given to each one of us. Do you want to go with this mind-constructed religious system? Or do you want to go with your own truth? We each have our own truth, and we are going to be able to find a way back into that truth. I cannot tell you what to believe in. No other person can tell you how to believe. All I'm here to say is wake up to your own truth. You know, I'm just a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm never going to change your point of view. In fact, that's a whole other story about the Mayan calendar. The Mayans knew that there is a direct communication line. You know, we have the space and time linear connection here. But they had a third one, which was intuition. And that is a direct line, the direct inner knowing to the cosmos through the higher creations. You know, the higher creators really are in higher dimensions, 9, 10, 11. That's what Barbara Hanclough talks very beautifully about. And actually that communication, line of communication, it seems now through quantum physics we know we have a direct channel, kind of like a funnel going through the galactic center and comes straight into us. It's like we're wired through the galactic center into the higher consciousnesses. And that's what we can call God or creators. And these creators are done creating us. That's what this whole charting system was about. The Mayan calendar basically charted the creation of consciousness on this planet by our higher creators. Now the choice is given to us, created ones, to co-create with them. And some of us will join this calling and some won't. It's going to come down to that last-minute choice, what they call in the Bible the rapture, you know, whether you join the co-creators or not. You might choose to stay in this three-dimensional world and do whatever you want, you know, or go someplace else. It's going to be totally up to each one of us what we want to do once we are fully grown.
Now, it's interesting when you talk about it's up to us to do what we are meant to do. And as I was watching the vice presidential debate, to me, it seems Senator Joe Biden said something that was very subtle, but it was interesting. And that is that he had a judgment about people who were coming into Congress and coming in to become public servants. And he was quickly sort of put into his place by a fellow senator, and he says, you should never, ever have a judgment about a person's motive who comes into public office. What you should be wary of is their judgment on how they bring forward that motive. And I thought that was very powerful because each and every one of us seem to have motivation towards something or even away from something. But it's in how we carry out that motive through our judgment that is the thing to be questioned and not the motive itself. And it sounds like we're moving into a time where motivations are becoming more and more individual rather than, let's say, putting it into the starstruck realm, for instance. I'm motivated toward power, toward prosperity, financial prosperity, because I want to live like they do, to a point where you are now personally motivated just to explore the dynamic questions and find the answers as to why you are here.
True. You know, we're still on the seventh day of the tribal systems or the national or the cultural where people identified with certain groups like clubs, you know, and certainly these two parties do resemble like a...
Now, I identified with the Flintstones. I don't know if that has any bearing here, but I loved them and Rocky and Bullwinkle, give them to me, you know. But
exactly. You know, so we're on the seventh day of all the previous ages. That going back to the cellular, if you pinch yourself, you still feel your cells. The cellular existed 16 billion years ago. Each one of these ages, like steps, if you look at the pyramids, the Mayan pyramids, they are steps on top of each other, layer, layer, layer. We're on the very top layers now, and so each one of us is on, it's like a symphony, Dan. I don't know if you ever go to symphonies.
Mm-hmm.
Each symphony has movements, you know, when you listen to a symphony. And each movement is a little bit different than the other, different, you know, harmonies used. But then there is this big finale, you know, when all these movements are replayed again, but sometimes in a more exaggerated way with louder instruments used and boom, you know, finally you get this huge finale. That's where we are. We're at the very end of this creation where the finale is getting louder and louder and everybody wants to be heard and expressed. And the tribal people, you know, like the Middle Easterns and even my Hungarian, you know, people, the nationalistic people, they want to hang on to their national heritage and tribes. Everybody wants to be heard, but the truth is that we are done with creation, and so you're right. It's going to be very interesting to see how we express ourselves without getting into each other's way, what the premise is and what the promise is by our teachers. Again, we can go back to Jesus or the other teachers who promised us a Unitarian world, a world of peace and love and coexistence. We realize we're all one. You know, like the Mayan, when they greeted each other, they said, "In Lakish," meaning I am another you, you know, acknowledging that we are really all one. So once we reach to that point, even your religious leaders will have no argument left, because they realize, you know, they are blended into the ocean of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
That is the beautiful premise. And unless we blow ourselves up, which I'm hoping we don't, they're still advocating nuclear power, for example, which I just saw a documentary on that. It takes thousands and thousands of years of those old nuclear power plants like Chernobyl to actually, you know, dissipate its, you know, the damage that's been done to our living Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
We have to consider that our Earth is a living organism. You cannot put poison into that living organism.
Mm-hmm.
The ancients admired the cosmos. The cosmos was our womb, and our Earth is our living organism that we need to be a part of and not destroy. All that is going to be revealed in the Age of Revelation. That's why, you know, the Bible has revelation. Apocalypse means revelation. And it's not the end of the world, it's the end of creation.
Uh-huh. And you have to remember, too, that when you think of apocalypse and the idea of that fear that the world is coming to an end, that in the time those statements were written were times where, as human beings, we were beginning to sort of understand the world while it was still a mystery. You know, we didn't know that earthquakes were a natural phenomenon then, so that was God speaking through us. That was the mystery of it. There were the storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, you name it, hail. These were all things that were really unknowable, that nowadays, from a scientific point of view, you know, here comes a tornado and everybody's out there with their video camera taping this thing, versus that day where it was God coming down to steal or basically give his wrath for you doing the wrong thing. And you can see how that's changed. Now, what's really interesting when you talk about apocalypse and revelation is that we take a look at how war is today. An interesting documentary was out there about how we wage war. You know, what is the purpose of it? And it was really centered on how the United States tends to go out and do this, being the superpower that it is. When you have basically the world's biggest, strongest U.S. force, or, you know, the military force that we have, it's hard to really be contended with unless you've got a nuclear missile that you can shoot over here. It's really hard for too many countries, if any at all, to really contend with us, and we just don't want to sit there either. We want to enjoy being boys with toys and kind of experimenting with them. But where it gets to the part of revolution is that you're seeing more and more now this message coming out about why we are being sold wars in the first place, and not just from civilian correspondents who write books, but also from former military leaders from history that are saying, look, you know, this is how the face of war has changed. We need to become more aware of this so that can change. For instance, the U.S. used to always scale down after war to where it had very minimal military power. But now, over the last 40 years, we've seen it just continually grow and grow and grow. And you think to yourself, okay, if all these books are coming out now, we're becoming more aware about the folly of how silly all this may seem to be, that why do you keep saying we're going to war? Because we seek peace.
Right. Yeah, how do you have an ethical war? You know, we're in
exactly.
The age of ethics. You cannot have, you cannot justify wars, because we're not in the remember, morality, the moral majority basically just agrees to, it's a spontaneous response to a non-spontaneous event. The ethics differs from morals in that the ethics comes from a very center of yourself, and it's a spontaneous response to a spontaneous event. That's why you can play an ethical sport, but you can never play an ethical war because you can never justify killing another human being.
Mm-hmm.
That goes against human ethics and the ethics of the cosmos or the galaxy. We don't kill, and so it's not going to happen anymore. It cannot. You know, we are now layered over the Age of Powers. As of the fifth night, we're done, and the next shift comes in. The baton is already passed to the next consciousness, and so no matter how they try, they're going to fail. Even those military leaders are picking up on these new frequencies, the new energies of consciousness that are coming in. So, yeah, even Putin, you know, he put an end to the Russian situation there. And so I don't think we're going to see those wars anymore.
I know it'll be interesting to figure out after Iraq, in which for some strange reason the Republican presidential nominee and the vice presidential nominee seem to talk as though this is a war that we're going to win. You know,
yeah.
And they keep saying we're going to stay there until we win this war, when most of the military that are over there fighting it, if not almost all of them, but it's hard to say.
Well, you can't fight anything unless you have money and oil and all that is. They're so clever, the others around us, the Europeans and the Iranians and whoever else is supplying the oil, they can just pull the plug. And if they pull the plug and they cannot put gasoline in those military vehicles, and if there's no money to feed this operation, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to send them home. And those poor kids, you know, that's where our compassion needs to go, that we used our kids, you know, or they used our kids. They hijacked our military. They hijacked our kids. They wanted to see blood. They wanted to see human lives sacrificed during these last dirty years. But it's over. The game is over. And actually, the Western, what Coleman calls the Western Hemisphere, is basically losing power to the Eastern Hemisphere. You talked about the Olympics. You know, I don't know if you watched the symbolism of the Olympic Games, the beginning and the end shows, where these humans were lifted up in air. They were floating all around the, you know, the air.
Yeah, I did enjoy both the opening and closing ceremonies, and it was very encouraging.
You know, the guy who designed this, this wonderful artist, the Chinese artist, he actually used an ancient Chinese symbol for the human being that was the symbol for the Olympics this year. And it was amazing because this is the symbol for the human, for the human power, our human beautiful consciousness. Our humanity is extremely empowered. And that was the message in this Olympics. It's not the system. It's not communist China or the mighty, you know, United States military or empire. It's us, each individual human being. We are.
You know, it's interesting too, Elizabeth, when you talk about that, when you talk about power, is one of the annoying things was how broadcast media continually kept embedding the idea, now China's really showing that it's a superpower, and I thought, does anybody really care about that?
Well, they went pretty silent after they saw those amazing ceremonies. They could not really, they were speechless,
mm-hmm.
if you notice. After
but
that,
as you were
up.
Seeing the athletes go about their business, you know, I remember hearing Bob Costas, for instance, many times talking about China and the superpower. This, you know, just goes to affirm they're the next superpower. And I kept thinking, is there a reason they're embedding this particular piece so that we need to be in a position to be worried when you look at that kind of expression, especially in the opening ceremonies of the 2008 Olympics, Summer Olympics, is that it was actually showing you just the opposite, that
exactly.
That's not what's important. What's important is world harmony and that we're all in this together.
Interestingly, you know, they love women's gymnastics, and the gymnastics coach of the girl who won one of the events was Chinese himself, and he selflessly helped her. The other girl was from Russia, and her parents helped her. You know, interestingly, the whole thing was very much blended in, and these guys basically started to shut up later on, And you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who listen to these news. They still are very much buying into all those embedded talking points.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, slowly but surely, a lot of us are waking up, and we're not buying into this propaganda, you
mm-hmm.
know. It's getting better.
So one of the things that Elizabeth suggests for the listeners out there is the fastest way that you can get to peace is shut your television off, stop getting the paper, and don't be reading things such as maybe the National Enquirer isn't so bad.
Or at least don't listen to Fox News.
Don't listen to any news anymore. It seems like they're all starting to sound the same. You know, they give you a bunch of generalities but no facts anymore. But
right.
I think it's an illusion. And what's also encouraging that you've said over the last hour here is it's been a real pleasure to have you here on the program, Elizabeth, is that you talk about the young being in tune, and I say, as I've said to people, I said, pay attention because the youth today are a lot more intuitive and a hell of a lot smarter than we were then, you know, because they are questioning things at a younger age, not just questioning, but actually doing something about those things that just don't make any sense.
But remember, we also had the 60s. The 60s were a preview, and it woke our baby boom generation up. At that point, we knew what we wanted to implement, but of course it was a little too soon. Now we can implement those ideologies that were born out of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're going to go back to. And our young ones will join us with that.
Mm-hmm. Very encouraging times, as the Bob Dylan song says, the times, they are a-changing, and they certainly are at a pace that even those in power are trying to figure out how can we continue to do what we've been doing and do it successfully. It just doesn't seem like it's happening. I think one encouraging note on this big $700 billion bailout was, to me, what was really interesting about it was how the Bush administration was pushing hard. We need to make this thing, you know, voted in overnight right now. Otherwise, the whole world's coming to an end. And Congress simply said, no, that's not what's going to happen, nor will we let it happen. So you can see, even in the circle of power, that people are waking up to realize, you know, we can stop and slow these things down. We can start thinking through these things again, unlike we were able to before.
You know, those Congress people, they have to come back home, and they need to be reelected again. So their lives are on the line, whereas Bush is going to go home to his ranch, and he doesn't give a damn, right?
Yeah.
But these guys, they're going to be on the hot seat come November, because who is going to reelect them?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to reelect these jokesters? They haven't done anything for us, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, who are we going to elect, Dan?
I think George W. Bush would be a great guy to reelect. I think just because he's found a way to bring out the worst in all of us, you know, and it's very encouraging because those are also aspects of ourselves that we need to learn to understand, to be compassionate and learn to love. You know, we just don't get ourselves to that elevated opportunity with as much power as he's enjoyed over the last 8 years. But then again, he hasn't done it alone either. I'll tell you, again, it's always fascinating to talk with you about these things. People think, Beyond 50, what's this all about? But, you know, it's also about seeing things a lot differently that you may be used to. You don't always have to agree, but at least hopefully it gives you an opportunity to think, to look into a matter a little bit deeper, to just basically do your homework a little better if we can show you sides that maybe you just weren't familiar with. And Elizabeth Peter, it's been a real pleasure to have you here on our program today.
It's an honor. Thank you so much for having me, Don.
You bet. I always feel encouraged because the times, they are a-changing. And thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Have
you
a
bet.
Good one.
You
Bye-bye.
Bet. I want to thank you also out there, the listeners, for tuning in. You've been listening to the Beyond 50 radio program with our guest Elizabeth Peter of Red Lotus. So, look, on the horizon, it sounds like things are becoming good again, if you will, because we're all beginning to understand that we ourselves have our destiny into our own hands. So the direction, the judgment we use in knowing that is what will change the world that we see around us, because we've simply changed the way that we see it through ourselves. And certainly you don't have to buy into all the hype that you see out there or the news, if you will. They're trying to do the best they can. But if you shut that off and look around, things really aren't as bad as they seem to make them out to be. Want to encourage you also to tune in and to join up on our website at beyond50radio.com. That is the number 50 with a 50, and sign up for our free weekly e-newsletter. That way you can find out about our shows and what we're involved with, and we also welcome your questions and comments. Also like to thank one of our sponsors today, which is HemiSync. If you'd like to tap into more of your brain's innate abilities and our meditative states reliably and easily, that way you can kind of tune out the news there and feel a lot more comfortable. Reduce stress, certainly by shutting off the TV and not reading the paper every day will help you do that. If you'd also like to be more creative and productive, concentrate and focus your attention when needed, experience deep restorative sleep and refreshing cat naps, or just uncover your intuitive talents, which we all should be doing, you can do all this and more with the aid of HemiSync audio CDs. They're refined with more than 50 years of research and development, supported by numerous independent studies, reports, and articles. The patented HemiSync technology has been scientifically and clinically proven to be effective. To find out more, just simply visit the Monroe Products website at www.hemi-sync.com. And those are all small letters. That is hemi-sync, S-Y-N-C.com, or just call 1-800-541-2488 to learn how this exceptional technology can help you achieve your greatest potential. I'm Daniel Davis. Thank you for tuning in today. And remember, live your day past halfway.